What's up, everyone? This is your host, Daniel and
Avi, and you're listening to the Brown Sound Podcast.
We're just two brown best amigos talking about everything and anything through a Latino and Indigenous perspective.
In this podcast, we uplift Indigenous and Latino insights on a variety of topics that highlight the intersectionality of both cultures.
Expect some tears, joy, and definitely some laughter. Imagine chilling with your two best friends, talking smack, and throwing a little shade. Hey, it's Daniel here. Make sure to swing by Flying M Caldwell at 724 Arthur Street for the best house-roasted coffee and homemade treats in town.
And I'm Javi. Don't forget to check out their unique gift shop, too. Proud to have Flying M Caldwell as a Season 7 sponsor for the Brown Sound Podcast.
When you're in the Lewiston area, head to the Clearwater River Casino and Lodge at 17500 Nez Perce Road. Enjoy the gaming machines, great food at the cafe and restaurant, and catch the game, or enjoy an adult bevy at the stadium sports bar.
Make it a full getaway with a stay at their hotel, check out the event venue, and don't forget to visit the gift shop. Proud to have the Clearwater River Casino and Lodge as a Season 7 sponsor for the Brown Sound Podcast.
Welcome back, everybody, to Brown Sound Season 7, Episode 13.
Ooh.
We are on almost to the end of the season.
Yeah.
13. This season felt so spaced out, you know.
We haven't been
doing weekly, like kind of almost like bi-weekly episodes almost. At least we're,
you know, life's been picking up and we've been lifing. So, you know, we're still getting the quality content you all love and appreciate. Yeah. I'm all patting us in the back.
Because, you know, you can't stop the beat.
Yeah, that's right. If Tracy Turnblad taught us anything.
Yeah.
You know, okay, let's talk about that really quick. So I'm not a big fan of musicals, I would say. I love music. I'll give you that. But musicals have never really been my vibe. I don't know. I just, not for me.
Yeah, they're a little bit much sometimes.
Sometimes. But I will say this, probably one of my only like musicals that I like, we'll watch from time to time because it's funny to me and I actually like it, was that movie Hairspray with the John Travolta, you know, like that one's a good one.
Yeah.
And they had solid messages about, like, you know, segregation and kind of like there was like deep rooted meaning in the songs. I don't know, like I could relate as a brown person, like watching it. I was like, hey, this is good. And it cracks me up that, you know, they hired that chick who plays, I don't know her real name, I don't know the actress, but Tracy Turnblad was just kind of funny throughout, you know, that little movie, and it just,
I think,
cracked
her name
me
was
up.
Like Nikki Blonsky or something.
Oh, right? yeah. That makes
it's
sense.
So weird because I've been, I don't know how Nikki Blonsky cameos have been showing up on my TikTok for you page, but sometimes I'll be scrolling and I'll see, like, because you know Cameo is the app where you can pay celebrities for messages like birthday wishes or whatever. So I've been seeing like the Nikki cameos from, you know, the Tracy Turnblad and it's like kind of sad to see her cameos nowadays because you could tell she's obviously, I don't think she's ever been anything else since Hairspray.
Oh yeah.
So you could just kind of see, like, you know, her career probably hasn't popped off like she probably wished.
Should I have.
And so I've been seeing all the cameos on there and it's kind of funny because she'll be like, you can't stop an avalanche. Like, it's just funny. But anyways, I might have to do that for your birthday. I'll pay her $20 to get you a message.
I would die. You know what we should do? She probably has time to do podcasts, you know? I don't know how busy she is, but if she can take a break from sending me a birthday message you paid her for, I think we could get her on the podcast.
Maybe we could pay her $20 to be on the podcast. Since she's doing $20 messages on Cameo.
I'm all for it. And the other thing about just like musicals in general, I feel like that album is pretty solid, you know what I mean?
Queen Latifah. I love the big blonde and beautiful one. That's like, even when in one of the lyrics when she's like, what's she saying? Like, who wants a twig when you can climb the whole tree? I always laugh at that one because it just cracks me up. It's like, good movie. If you haven't watched Hairspray, go and watch it.
There's just like many things about that movie that just like felt right. So I'm a fan. If they ever do like a live play, we should go and watch it. Like that could be like a Brown Sound goes and, you know,
goes to Hairspray
music.
I just always think of the John Travolta, like the Edna
Christmas
scene.
Hurt,
like, yeah, like, you know, she's like, stop my knife and fork when I see a Christmas
hurt. Good times. Hey, I want to ask you a question really quick before we, because today is a guest episode. You know, we love ourselves a good guest episode. Mm-hmm. But I want to talk about something. So, I'm sharing with everybody, I'm being vulnerable about liking musicals, because there's a little bit of judging when you share, that you like. Especially as men, we've talked about being a little bit more transparent about, us having and appreciating different things. And so that's what we're doing.
The arts.
Christmas hams.
Yeah.
But what I was going to ask you is, okay, you and I have been friends for years. Mm-hmm. And, it did take us a while to get a little bit more comfortable with sharing, things that we, like, for example, I've shared stuff about my culture with you, but I'm also like, my family's a little this way, so just kind of be prepared, especially at the beginning of our friendship, And so I wanted to ask you, as genuine friendships develop, right? Mm-hmm. I think, what do you think that gets people there to those points where you, basically start to show your life a little bit unfiltered? Because I gotta say, a lot of us, we separate our family lives, our work lives, our, not me and you, because we have a podcast and we talk about everything, but right. most people right, will almost compartmentalize the different life things. And so think about it this way too: you have sets of friends that you just couldn't imagine them kind of bringing your friend groups together. You're like, I don't know if they would,
I'm a big believer that you shouldn't mix all your friends together, because they're all gonna be different in the same way.
You have your go out, get ratchet friends. You do. I don't really go out anymore. But
you don't, Mr. Hungover on a Thursday?
Allegedly, nah, but I. Well, no, I'm going to tell everybody here, no, I don't drink during the week. I barely drink on the weekends, except for when Daniel's visiting. Again, back to this question of, at what point do you think that, friends transcend that, friendships transcend that, I'm holding back a lot of my personal stuff. And then, to the, I can emotionally dump on a close friend when I'm having, a bad day or, something happens. What do you think is, the key thing that, makes, friendship group just click? I'm curious from your perspective.
I think honestly is time. I think with time, time tells all. If your friends friendships can still be strong within the ups and downs that come with friendships and friend groups, and even friend breakups. There's been friend separations. We've been through that. Even in our own friend circle, we've had some friend separations, and I think time helps. I think develop that comfort.
Trust.
The trust. I can trust them. Also, I think too, a night, kind of, this sounds funny, but getting drunk with your friends, because you do, when you're drunk, you kind of tend to say more stuff, or you're maybe you're holding all this stuff in, and then when you're drunk, you just have it all, I'm going through all this, a drunk cry or a drunk something, a drunk dump. I feel like that kind of helps, because then it's it's already happened, and you're that was weird, but it's not that weird now because you heard it,
Sometimes I feel like it takes the one friend taking that leap of faith of letting kind of sharing that whatever emotional turmoil they're going through, to then have the other friend kind of open up too a little bit, hey, they got vulnerable with me and they shared that, and I'm actually going through the same shit, or I've gone through the same thing, and now I can share that with somebody, where before I was a little bit guarded, So I think that has to do with it. The other thing I was going to say really quick is that, especially when you're going through those little drunk night out, or when you get the very vulnerable with, I feel like once your humor aligns, I think that's a big factor too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Appreciate kind of these messed up jokes that we probably shouldn't laugh at, but they're still
borderline offensive.
Yeah.
But it's wait, you get it.
Yeah. And the other thing I think makes it a little bit easier, I'll speak from experience and maybe from a cultural vibe, is when I, you know, I grew up in Caldwell, which is half Latino population, half primarily white population. Mm-hmm. Or what are we saying now? European Americans? European Americans.
Politically correct.
Yes. When I was first developing those friendships with my European American friends, I had all this, like, they're not going to get my culture. They're going to judge us. My mom and dad don't speak Spanish or English that well. It was more like a protection thing. Like, I'm like, they're just not going to get it. And that was a big hurdle for me to pass. But with my Latino friends or brown friends, I just knew that, you know, they could relate. Like, you know, a lot of my friends had parents that were immigrants, parents that only spoke Spanish. And when I got to college, I found a lot of people that were like that. And it just really helped with the connection piece. So I feel like when you share a little bit of that with your friends and you're a little bit more like comfortable, it really does make all the difference. Your friends feel like a safe environment, like a safe space, no judgment. Yeah. You know what I mean? All those things. And I'm thinking about me and you too. Like, we've been friends for so long. I honestly cannot remember a time where you and I have beefed. Like, where we, I feel like I mean, maybe we've gotten annoyed with each other for like dragging each other to situations, but I can't recall a time where I've been like really upset with you. You know what I mean? Like, cold shoulder. Like, I don't remember that. We're just kind of like very chill and just like don't really let stuff bother us. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. I think too, because it's like we don't, I mean, I think we're very honest with each other. Like,
yeah.
We're
that's true.
We're very straight up. Like, I think some people sometimes think I just will take your side without hearing other sides, but I'm like, no, like, I'm one of those people, like, I just keep it. You know, I say what I say, and sometimes it comes off as rude, or it can come off as maybe insensitive or whatever, but I feel like that's just how I feel. And I feel like with us, we've always just been pretty straightforward. And too, I mean, we've known each other for a long time, so we kind of know, like, what things, what I guess one of us doesn't like or doesn't do, because I know, like, you don't like the going out club scene, you know, where I sometimes like to turn up, or, you know, you like to do... You know, you're just kind of like a laid back person, and I'm not. So sometimes we, you know, we just meet each other. Yeah, the balance with of
balance.
Like,
balance.
Yeah, like we can do have a good turn up night once in a while, but not all the time. Where, you know, sometimes we just, even when I go down and visit, it's like there's like those nights where we just stay at your place and just like watch stuff or eat, you know, like order tacos already at like 9:30 at night.
Yeah. No, I hear that. I don't know. I feel like it's really important for people to talk about friendships, because they're so good for us, you know what I mean? Especially men. I was reading an article, statistically, men who have close friends and will connect with them a few times a week just literally feel like they can speak to somebody about the things that they're going through, that then makes all the difference for mental health. And especially in marginalized communities like ours, you know, brown men, we're taught hide your feelings. You know, like, don't share how you feel, like, don't say that you're sad because it makes you look less than, not a man. And so
a wussy, it's really, or whatever.
A wussy, right? And people start to look at you different. And unfortunately, those stigmas are pretty, I think, ingrained in our communities. It's something that we need to work through. But I feel like ultimately, if we can do that, if we can be vulnerable, hopefully people won't have to just, you know, like, drink or do, like, you know, detrimental things for their health that obviously isn't healthy. And so we need to say it. Really quick with friendships, though, I did want to ask you, you and I are pretty honest with each other, but how do you tell, like, a friend, like, like, you need to step up your style game, you know, because if friends are a reflection of you, tell me who you are, or tell me who you hang out with and I'll tell you who you are. Have you heard that saying? So, like, how do you tell your friends, you know, like, you're gonna be around us, let's work on, you know, let's elevate your you. How do you have those conversations? Is it easy? Can you do it?
I feel like for the most part, I mean, everyone's going to have their own personal style, right? Everyone is going to like and what they feel is comfortable, you know, comfortable, for them. But I feel like sometimes you just kind of have to I guess it's probably not even the nicest way I've ever done it, but like slightly joke about it a little bit to like, gee, it's all tight or so, I don't know, like something to kind of like give them that like, oh, wait, is this, you know, like, oh, is this one? Or one of those, I think sometimes too, I think you know, it's like even saying like, oh, like, I love that you like to wear that. Like, who cares what anyone says? You know, like, because it's like, wait, who cares? You know, so it kind of just puts the thought in
their
mind.
I think that's border.
Puts the
that's borderline a backhanded compliment. Like, oh, you look nice today.
Yeah. I feel like that's the only way I've ever, I guess, had to do that a couple. I've had a few friends where I'm like, what? Like, we would be getting ready to go out and stuff. And then everyone would come out and be like, what made you decide to wear that? You know, but everyone's going to have their own.
I'm thinking about my own family. So I'm going to put them on blast. But like, if I make plans with my family and we're going to go out to have like dinner and someone walks out in sweatpants, I'm like, go change. Yeah. You know, I feel like we're family. We can say those things.
Yeah, it's different with family because it's.
But, And I'm like, you want to be comfortable, wear that here in the house. You want to go out as a family, like, that ain't it. That's not the vibe. And so, like, my family knows that. Even going to the grocery store, I'm like, you can't go in pajamas. I've seen the People of Walmart website. Like, oh, I'm not trying to be on there. I'm not trying for you to be on there. And I think it also just, like, speaks to, like, how you feel about yourself. So don't get it twisted. For anyone who loves to go to Walmart in their pajamas, if that's you, go do that. But I feel like how you express yourself to society says something about you and yourself. And that expression, whatever it is, pajamas at Walmart, you know, go do that. But I feel like my family, we've gone through so much and, you know, we have been able to elevate as a family. You know, the come up, we grew up low income. We have a little bit more money now. My parents were able to buy a house. All the kids have gone on to college. Like, I'm like, let's show people what our family really is about. And I feel like your expression shares that a little bit. And so that's where I sit a little bit. And I feel like with friendships too, I want to be like, I know you're confident. I know that you're out there kicking ass. Otherwise, you wouldn't be my friend, right? Because we're all helping each other. Yeah. But let's do something about it. Because as your friend, you know what I mean? Like, I want the best for you. So I'm going to help you out. Not in a mean way, not in a tear you down way, but in an uplift you and kind of help you way. Because I know, right? I want the best for you. So I don't know. I've thought about that before. And I feel like it's important. Like, we got to uplift each other up and not tear each other down. And one of these ways is to help with that confidence piece. You know, maybe you didn't know any better, but
let me
show you where I shop, and then maybe we can pick out some like stylish things for you. Not that I'm the best dressed or anything, but you know what I'm getting at. So anyways, Cheeks, keep it up. You're very fashionable, you're very confident, and I'm here for it.
It's actually funny, and this, so I want our guest's opinion on this too. So let's introduce. So like we said, this is a special guest episode. Woo-hoo. And this person who we have on today is probably one of the funniest people that I know. Just got really good humor, just the good vibes, and I feel like everyone that knows this special guest will agree. So without further ado, could we give a Brown Sound welcome to the one and only Miss Jackson, aka Shannon Jackson. We got Shannon here on the Brown Sound.
Woo, woo. Hey, everybody. How are you guys?
How's it going?
Good. First of all, I have a couple, just so they know, I was never that drunk friend that they were talking about. And what was the other one I was? Oh, I said, oh, my back goes out more than I do anymore. But I was thinking, you guys said Euro-Americans. Euro-Americans?
European-Americans, yeah.
European-Americans, yeah.
Is that what they call them, Euro-Americans?
I think so.
Let me give you a little bit more context. So we were talking about how indigenous people are called Native American. Uh-huh. People from different Latino communities, like, for example, Mexicans are called Mexican-American. That's what I would be considered. And then we have, like, African-American. All these other groups have that identifier, except if you're Caucasian, if you're white. So we said, why don't they also get, like, a little, you know, we're all American, so let's differentiate then, if that's what we're doing.
I am, a newbie Indian.
TikTok.
Yeah. So what was the question?
Yeah. Oh. So I did want to run this by you.
Get that out before we started any further.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. We're setting the stage.
Yeah. So I had something funny happen to me recently, and I texted Javi like right when it happened, because you're like, you even made the joke like it's not even 7 a.m. yet. So yesterday, so obviously with the Brown Sound podcast, we've shared our ups and downs of dating mm-hmm. apps, dating in our 30s. You know, yep. it's a experience in itself. So I think in one of our earlier episodes, I said that this year, 2025, I'm open to just, you know, getting out there and getting to know people, and however, whatever happens. So for about
and hickeys.
Snagging. No, it's kidding. No, so about a month ago, I met this girl from a dating app, Hinge. I'll Hinge, give me a PR package. Just kidding. I'll promote your app on the podcast. No, it's kidding. No, so I met this girl. We've been talking for a month. And to me, honestly, it wasn't like, I wouldn't say we were dating. We just were talking every day, getting to know each other. But yesterday.
Every day, though? That's.
No, I mean, yeah.
You know, every day, that's still, okay. I'm just throwing that out there. It caught my attention. Okay.
Yeah, so the funny thing is, it's like, so it's Wednesday morning. I wake up around 6:30 to get ready for work. Mm-hmm. And I woke up and I had a text from her, and it was like 6:13. I'm like, damn, it's like early, you know? So I looked at it, I'm like, what's she texting this early for? And it was like this long breakup text of like, it was like, and it's so funny because what I wanted to get your thoughts on is like, so when it comes, especially from like a woman's point of view, when it comes to, I guess, getting dumped,
I can't give that point of view.
yeah, for Shannon to give us some insight, some elder wisdom. No, but so like the thing was, it was this long text, right? And it was saying like, you're basically just hyping me up. You're a great guy. You've done, you know, I like the work you do, blah blah blah, all this kind mm-hmm. of stuff. And I'm like, okay. And then it was like, but I ain't really feeling you like that. So then I was just kind of like, why are you hyping me? Like, I know all these things about myself. I know mm-hmm. I know what I bring to the table, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Oof.
And so, like, for me, it's like, you know how to do all that. Like, and then it was so weird because it's like, yeah, I don't think, like, you know, we can work this out, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, so it's not even 7 o'clock yet, and you're like thinking about this. I'm like, damn. No, but it, to me, it was because I haven't been dumped, like, I think since high school. It's been a long time. So mm-hmm. Not gonna lie, it did bruise my ego just a little bit, like kind of like, I got dumped, but someone I wasn't even committed to, you know, like it wasn't even that mm-hmm. serious to me.
You should have just responded, you know, I feel the same.
Oh, that's a good one. That's
right
a good
back
one.
At you. Yeah.
Now that puts the balls in your court. You know, I didn't know how to tell you, but you know, I felt the same.
Thanks. Yeah, so I was just like, I had it on my mind all day yesterday. I was like, I'm going to talk about it on the podcast because the Brown Sound, we talk mm-hmm. about what happens in our life. And I think with the Brown Sound, you know, I don't build my life around the podcast or the microphone. I build the microphone into my life. So like my experiences, and I may, you know, maybe this will relate to somebody, like when it comes to dating, getting dumped. I don't know. This is kind of funny, but I just was thinking like, I don't understand the point of like hyping someone up and then be like, yeah, but I don't really feel me like that. Like it's not that. I'm like, you could have just said, hey, this is, and for me, I wasn't not like I'm like heartbroken, because obviously it takes me a long time to, I think, even develop feelings, just because I don't do the dating thing. Like that's really never been my my priority. Yeah, like I'm not. That's more my vibe. No, I'm just kidding. But it's just one of those funny experiences where I was like, I gotta talk about this because I'm like, dang, I'm all day yesterday. I was just thinking about like, well, what did I mean, for it to be a Wednesday at like 6 a.m., like, we literally talk every day from like basically when we wake up to when we go to sleep. And then all of a sudden it's like a random Wednesday morning at 6 a.m. I'm like, oh, so what was the defining factor, I guess, to like, I'm like, it's not even the weekend yet. And the funny thing is like, we were talking about like weekend plans and stuff, like, it just was weird. I don't know. Dating apps are weird, I guess. That's just another weird thing.
You think that she was seeing someone?
Maybe? I don't know, man. I could
have been lied, dude. Hey. But I'm
like, that has happened before in my life too. Hey, so
I've been trying to apply for side jobs.
I'm not trying to love that. Hey. On your resume, it says works well with others.
Multitasker.
I have questions. Do you mind if we ask questions?
Go ahead, sure.
Yeah. Okay, so I don't know. It could be like, I'm just curious from a cultural lens. Is that somebody of the same culture, or was it somebody who was not? Oh,
she was Mexican.
Oh, okay. And then where were we at with like language? Like, and I'm not asking, can she speak English? Because obviously she can.
Yeah. I got dumped in English.
Was she like, it's over. Ya acabamos. Terminado.
Yeah, no, the way she explained her Spanish language, like some knowledge, was that she wasn't fluent, but she knew, could understand. Oh, okay. And so I was like, oh, so you're in Osawa? Just kidding.
Let me ask you another thing. A month and texting basically every time of the day is kind of a long time. So it sounds to me that you were a little emotionally interested at the very least, you know? We'd say you're very interested. I'm just curious that you didn't see it coming like a little
bit. Yeah, no, it literally, I was like, the night before, everything was like, I was like, yeah, good night. And then next thing you know, I woke up to like, this ain't really working out. I'm like,
Was it a good night as you were driving away from her house? Or no.
And that's the thing too, is like, it wasn't like local. Like it was like, she was out of
Portland. Oh, I see.
And okay. So it was just, it was interesting. But like I said, like I obviously was interested because I'm not even the person that, like, texts people every day. Like, you know that about me. Like, I don't.
I know.
Like, I'm not just texting on my phone all day or talking. Like, that's just not been my vibe, really. But I was like, I was interested because we were asking interesting conversations and just, I think we shared a lot of same, like, political views, a lot of, like, even goals about, like, travel, just different things. And it was interesting because, like, she also expressed that I was, like, one of the first Native person she'd ever, like, talked to. Like, we were still here. So it was like kind of interesting of like sharing that part too of like the work that I do and just my career. And so I mean, we had really deep conversations. It just really was interesting. So I'm like, but no, I'm not even like, I'm like, you know what, it is what it is. Like, I just Javi, you know me, I just there's a little roster sometimes, you know, and it's okay to have people you talk to.
A little hit it, quit it, and split it.
I was trying to have a hot big boy summer.
I have some thoughts in all of this. Let me know where you are all at with this. So personally, I don't like the dating apps because we've talked about it before. I feel like, and kudos to the people who do this. Like, seriously, kudos to you. You have to be very like mindful about what pictures you put up. They have to look good. You have to look interesting. You have to look like you're not poor because people don't want, you know what I mean? Like, like you travel. So like there's these also, these like subliminal messages you're sending through the pictures you choose. Then on top of that, you have to write some kind of bio that makes you sound funny, interesting,
relatable. Sell yourself.
And so I hate it. So in a way, I'm like, you're basically like having to create this, like, I don't know, illusion about yourself. For most people, I feel like we're not taught to be that way. Like, we try to be humble. Right. We're taught to, like, you know, like, downplay your success. You know what I mean? Like, there's things like that. And so, personally, I don't like it for that reason. I feel like relationships can build off from, like, just a genuine friendship, you know what I mean? Like, you get to know each other, you become close friends, and from there it just naturally evolves into something romantic. That's kind of how I see it. And I wouldn't mind, like, actually meeting someone for a date and getting to know them there, but then that's also awkward AF a little bit. So it's weird to navigate that, like, that. And most days nowadays with dating apps, people just ghost you or block you if they don't like you.
Or catfish and, you.
Yeah, or catfish.
And maybe you were saved from a catfish. Maybe it was.
Maybe that's it. Maybe that's it.
Could have, like, been. I don't know.
You didn't want to hurt your feelings because you were starting to get invested.
Yeah, that's true.
I tried. I don't want to make this about me.
Right. No, sure. It is about, this is a guest episode. This is
your show. I'll count you. We still got some time. No, but I have personally tried the dating app. I was staying, well, let me start from the beginning. Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. So I grew up on the res, and 20 when the fires were here in Kamiai, 2015,
yeah.
So I take off to Seattle. I move over there, and I was there till like just a year or two ago. And I was with this Asian family, and I was eating. Bob's posted some good food, huh, Daniel? Ooh, yeah. So I was staying with this Asian family, and she would ask me to babysit her kid all the time, and I'm like, I just pay rent and go to my room. I'm not trying to be all in the family, you know? So I was kind of downstairs with the child, and she'd be gone. Then she was, like, doing this. I later found out she was doing this speed dating. She's married, and her husband's, like, in the other room.
Oh.
I'm watching this, and I'm like, oh, my
dang.
God. Because he goes out crabbing or whatever. And so I'm freaking out. Like, I need to get out of here. So we started having hookah and wine night or something. I can't remember what it was. Uh-huh. And so we were down there having girls night because he would be out. So she tells me all this. And I'm like, what are you? And she goes, Shannon, you need to get out of the house. You need to. So she takes my phone, downloads Cupid. Or
okay, Cupid. I think that's one of the dating ones.
Okay, Cupid or something. Yeah. And that's where I found my ex. And my future exes.
That's all funny.
So when I moved, I was in Everett. And so then I met this guy, or was talking to him, and I thought that was, you know, I was like, oh gosh, I'm over this. Going to meet somewhere, I'm over this. And to me, the dating app feels like you're on the shelf. Like, your pictures are, oh, okay, I'll take this one. And it's by looks only, not by personality, how you are or who you are. And so thank God I found the old school one, because, like, my ex,
which one? Which one?
No. So, and so I met him on the day. And so my phone inland would not work over there. So I had to get another phone. So I go to get one of those burner phones just for temporary because I needed a map. I didn't know my way around there, right? Yeah. And so I go get a burner phone, and then I'm sitting there. And I forgot that she did it on my old phone. And I met this guy. I was really complimenting his smile and all this stuff. And I ended up, we were together like 4 years, I think. Dang. Strong. But I mean, so it works for some. And then after so on and so forth. And that was that. That's my only online dating experience I've ever had. So I don't know what it's like to be dumped.
And I feel like, too, like, dating now, especially like in my 30s, you either going to be like a step parent, or you're going to deal with someone who, like, wants to rush and move very fast. Like, we're in our 30s, we have this timeline, I need to have a kid, I need to get married. You know, like, there's all these different, like, little factors that go into dating in like, as like an adult, I guess. And so I'm like, for me, I'm like, I don't rush nothing. I'm a go with the flow type of person. I'm not trying to, you know, rush and settle down. Like, this year was like my year. I was like, I'm open to whatever. But I was like, dang, I got dumped. That's funny. It just was funny because I was like, dang, like, I guess that's my first experience of like the dating app world. And because normally I don't. I don't really
take it with a grain of salt because you know what?
Yeah.
The next one's gonna be the same. It's gonna take a while. I did not like him myself personally, but my landlord at the time, she was pushing me to do it, and she goes, "Go at least one date." So finally, I found my old phone, and I was like, "Oh!" And I logged in. She goes, "Are you logged into your?" Because I didn't log into the new phone on that app.
Yeah.
And she's like, "Log in." And so I go in, and then he's like, "I check my message. Oh, you must not be interested." And I was like, "Oh, I'm sorry," because I forgot about it. And and so like by not responding to or like responding too much or feeling kind of, you know, so that was one thing I learned on it. I never opened it back up. I told myself I would not put myself through that again because it's stressful.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is, right? Like
you're like, "Oh, you..."
Yeah, kudos to both of you. Because I mean, one of the things, Shannon, that you said kind of resonated with me, that when you were like, "I had a 4-year relationship out of it, I'm like, "Oh, okay, yeah." Like, I'm more open to it now if I know it's going to go somewhere. You know what I mean? And so I don't mind trying. I don't mind trying. Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing I think the reason being was that I was like, "Dang," because we are who we attract.
Yes.
So I was like, "Okay, well, this fool," when our first date, because I was like, "I'm not doing this." I caught myself a little something going on. So I drive down and I said, I don't have time for this little driving all the way down here for a cup of coffee and I don't even like you type of visit. I need a date. So get ready. We'll meet up. Like, I was calling the shots just like that. And next thing you know, I get down there. We have a 7-course meal. The chef comes out. Here he was a cook. That's how he kept me.
Oh.
There you go. I mean, that was it. And then, have you ever had black pasta?
No, I don't think so.
It's dim. It's the same.
Just brown pasta when I make it.
No, we just eat brown. Hey.
Yeah, just brown pasta.
I don't discriminate myself. So, but yeah, I got to taste some brown pasta or black pasta. It was different. Yeah. It was cool because the taste is the same. It's just a grain. The grain was I don't know. Anyway, I think because he was a little bit older than me, and so we were probably the same age, maturely, you know. We connected, and I said, "Take me where they dance," you know, like I was. So that's probably what, because I was Boston.
Yeah. No, I love that, and I love that you had 4 years of something that, you know, you could be a part of. I feel like more and more now, especially at this age, especially now that I'm getting a little bit older and I've been single for a while, the more I'm single, the more I enjoy that. And it's kind of hard to like want to like lose that a little bit because I just have all this autonomy. I have extra money. I can travel. I don't need to check in with anybody to make like calendars. It's nice. And so I feel like when I do start dating and once it gets more serious, I feel like, you know, they got to offer something real good because what I have right now is working really well for me.
Yeah. And date yourself for a while, you know?
I love that.
Yeah. Date yourself. Treat yourself to things that you expect from somebody else. Who am I giving dating advice?
I'm
taking notes, so give me all the dating advice.
I think I always think that people always assume like if you're single that you're lonely, but like you can totally be single and happy in your own solitude because there's peace in that. And I feel like for me, like I'm not someone who's ever had to rely on someone to make myself happy or to be feel like I needed somebody. Like I'm like, I just do what I do. I go to work and I travel and I live my life. Like it's like, it's not like I had to rely on somebody for that, you know?
Absolutely.
And when you're with somebody, it's not a chore to tell them where you're going because they're usually either going with you or, you know, so it's not, It's not even a hassle.
Yeah. And it's more like a mindset too, maybe, like, you know, because you're mm-hmm. excited, because you want to go out together, because you can't wait to tell them about, like, whatever, you know, the cool thing that happened to you, or the shitty thing that happened to you. That's a mindset. I know that too, because, you know, I've obviously dated before and I've been in relationships, mm-hmm. but it does just, I don't know. I feel like I it's going to be a weird shift when I change out of it, because obviously I want kids too, and I got to do something to get the ball rolling on that. You should hear my family, because I'm Latino. Like, we get taught to have kids as soon as you can have them, and all my siblings got kids, like, you know what I mean. So I always have, when my grandpa was alive, he always joked that he was gonna raffle me off, because he's like, I want you to have kids already. I want to see. So, like, you know, and we have that pressure too. But I love what you just said about, like, dating yourself and getting to know each other. One of the things we talked about too with Daniel, is this just the dating episode now, man? But
we didn't even get to ask Shannon some questions yet.
I just feel like I love the working on yourself, because I've been in therapy, you know what I mean, like, you mm-hmm. you just start to really focus on yourself, and I feel like you can offer more to a significant other if you've really worked on yourself, and I think that will bring more value. So there we have it, everybody. Let's transition into getting to know Shannon a little bit. Oh, not even introduce her, but know all about her dating.
Make me re-traumatized. Question number one. What's number two?
That's funny. But
I'm glad, because I was kind of self-healing talking about that too. So.
Right? Yeah. What? Love it.
Yeah. Oh, you.
This one, I was saying that every day. I know. That's just a cultural thing, I think. Well, I don't know if it's just Nini Puna or.
I mean it.
I know. We talk like. We make sounds. I don't know if it's a dialect or just certain things. Because I was telling Daniel, I said, you know, it's crazy. Even we do that with, like, dogs that are gone or get, you know, making just little noises. But something only, like, skins or brown people do. I don't know. Make me after. You can get after kids and a dog and with the same noise, like, ah.
Yeah.
Sometimes I do that to my cousins. That makes them stop and look like, what?
Yeah. So is it like to kind of push a little bit, or
like kind of to
put attention to something when you do it? Like, share a little bit, like, with our listeners about that, because we have some things in Latino culture too that I just can't explain, because it's like, just, you got to be part of the culture and you just get it. But how does it work, I guess, if someone
Daniel.
This is the Shannon episode.
We've heard these all our life, or most of our lives, from our elders. That's how I feel. And then I just like to elaborate now that I'm in the age of, I'm a Gen X. But, like, just being that, I'm that elder now. So I'm just really,
early elder.
So I gotta be a, I know. Well, guess what? I turned 50 this year. July.
Ooh.
What? No way. I don't believe that. I don't believe that.
Yeah. Look at, let me see, I have my tattoo. 1970.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Trying to show some neck. Yeah. Maybe the local neck.
Oh my god.
No, but being 50 this year, and then I was thinking, oh my gosh, we are like the elders now, because, like, my cousins have grandkids and the grandkids have grandkids, you know. I'm like, wait, hold on, you guys are too young. But I just started late.
I feel like 50 still like very, like my mom is 52 right now. Mm-hmm. And I just remember like when I was little and I thought of someone 50, I just thought someone that was like really older with like blonde hair, like, you know, like curly white hair or like, yeah. But nowadays, like, I just feel like we're all aging a little bit more gracefully. Like, people, mm-hmm. it's not like a weird shift that, like, oh, now suddenly you're older, so now you look this certain way. Like, can't really see that anymore. Yeah, and also, I might add, and maybe this is a toot for, like, our cultures, but I feel like we don't age as, like, aging doesn't hit us that hard. Because I'm looking at my mom, and I'm like, my mom still looks fairly young. I don't, you know what I mean? Like, I don't see her as 50 to or whatever, you know, like it's interesting, I feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, black don't crack and brown don't
frown. Brown don't frown.
Brown don't frown.
But yeah, so with that, the same, that's what it was. When I went to Seattle and when I went back east to where my dad's from, they say, you have an accent. I'm like, an accent? You know, I was thinking, what are you talking about? And it was my res humor when I'm like, oh. And then I'd say, hey. And they're like, why do you always say that? And, you know, everywhere I go and I try to, like, scale back some and try to be different and loud like regular people.
Yeah. Shannon, I'm obviously not from the res, but anytime I link up with Daniel, all I hear is nay, nay, nay. You know, like we're having a cracking up, just having like real funny conversations, and the nay just adds to it. Just makes it so much funnier. And I've caught myself hanging out with like Daniel and like our friends or his family, and they're all neighing around, and then I'll like say something and then nay too, and I'm like, oh wait, like I it's not my thing, but yeah, like I could totally relate to that because it's just like once you're in it, and you know what, Alethea, who's our good friend, one of my college mentors, she's been on the podcast too. Uh-huh. She said you always pick up that like accent with when you're around Daniel, and I said what accent?
Like, oh, my accent.
But so yeah, we've been friends for so we yeah, because she was just talking about like, you know, the neighing or the I guess we phrase things about a little right.
Yeah,
and so I don't think about it that way.
We don't hear it, Daniel. Everyone else.
I know. Does. I know.
It's just resi.
Just I know. You just sound like those moose off of Brother Bear.
Yeah. So I was just like, an accent? I don't get it. And then I heard some other skins. Well, I was around some other skins in Seattle. They're like, gee, where are you from? I'm like, gee. Can you hear chi or whatever? Yeah. You know, someone else's.
You always know someone's from the res, yeah. And they say G or D or something. Like it's always like a chi. Yeah, where you can tell someone's from the res.
So that's just the thing I noticed. Like when I first saw Daniel, I started working back with the tribe again, and I was like, oh, look at, you know, talk like how elders or grandmas would be like if they were sitting there, and Daniel and Javi go walking by. Yeah. Like, oh, those two. Yeah. I already know you're up to something.
Yeah. Well, now I know you didn't see us because we don't walk anywhere.
Or if you were, see, that's the thing. We can't even exercise anymore. Like, I was. Yeah. I used to run. I'm out. this one lady, she was walking on along the highway, and I pull over. Well, come on, run up here. You know, like I pull over, and I'm like, you're exercising. Come on. She's like, no, I'm just walking for health. And I go, oh, I'm sorry. So that's going to be helpful. Pick her up and give her a ride. She's like, no, I'm just exercising.
I don't want to well, run then. Like,
walking. Hopefully yeah. I won't be walking. Yeah. On the highway.
Yeah. Well, especially on the highway, right? You're like, well, there's other places you could work out. Like you know, like, yeah. It sounds like you just need a ride. Yeah. All right. So let's get to know Shannon a little bit better.
Oh, funny.
Yeah. So, Shannon, we wanted to bring you on here, first of all, because Daniel could not stop saying good things about you, basically. Like, he just kept saying, we gotta have her on. She's just good energy. Funny. And she also has a very unique perspective of living on the reservation, given that, you know, she grew up, like, biculturally. Like, you have two cultures kind of living in you. And he shared something about, like, just your upbringing, that you were one of the very first people on the reservation, kind of like with that perspective. And so I said one of the first because I know you said there was somebody else.
Tell him what I said, Daniel.
Yeah, you're like, no, you're like, how are you?
Before my elders.
Right. You're like, wait, Howie and them are older than I am.
He's still laughing. I feel like, well, I grew up on the reservation. I am a Haskell Rascal. My mom went to the Indian College down in Lawrence, Kansas, met my dad, and I blessed the world. Came in 1975. Yeah. I broke the mold that year. And we moved home. I was young. And then I remember me and my mom going up to Alaska because she went to the school, college up there, Sheldon Jackson College for whatever. And so then we come back here and they had Head Start going. And I grew up from Head Start, well, even before then, but Head Start, although I graduated from here. And I just, all my cousins, and they're all cousins. I don't even think I have like a best friend. I don't even, because you're related to everyone, you know?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And so just being around the people, I mean, it's normal to me, and I don't hear any accents. I don't hear any, and everything we did, we laughed through humor and through joy. I mean, we weren't laughing at you. We were laughing with you.
With you.
That's how we do. And then just like how put that nay on there, and then it just starts snowballing, and then your stomach hurts, and then it's you're healed.
You're healed.
We've always said that in our cultures, like, we definitely use humor as a healing like thing, you know, like we can bring up trauma and things that, you know, have really affected us, right? Make it funny, yeah. And like get over it because of, and build community in that same way. I love that. I wanted to ask you, how did you navigate your identity for someone who is both Black and Indigenous, especially in like spaces that see you as one, only one or the other? Like, how was that for you growing up?
Growing up, so that was, I didn't, you know, of course we don't know until somebody tells us, right, what we are. Right. I always thought I was skin. And then every summer, and it used to be Eastern Airlines, they don't even have that airline anymore. My mom would send me down to Kansas to go see my dad. So I'd stay there for the summer. And so that's where I'd get all my black, you know, my hair, and I had the good hair. Look at it. And so I get down there, and then, you know, of course, to them, I have good hair, light skin, but my accent, they just couldn't. And so I was like, what is it? I don't look Native, mm-hmm. you know, but I do to them, to my black side of the family. I really look Native because I'm light skin. My hair is not nappy and all this stuff. And then I get up here, I'm dark skin, you know, and all this other stuff. So I just really couldn't find a place. And then, except for with my cousins, you know, until we started getting to the age of terrorizing was tough for me growing up. You know, I think it just made me stronger.
Yeah,
and about quicker.
Kids are mean.
So I had some pretty thick skin. You know, and so finally I found a place where, and I was just like, oh yeah, those are my cousins, you know, over here, and they're half black and half Nez Perce also. And so then we were taking it way back, like, wow, we weren't the first ones. There's ones way back in the 40s even. Within our tribe, you know, whether, I don't know if it was frowned upon or, you know, because, you know, they were worried about our blood quantum back then, even, you know, worried about the going outside of the bloodline. But you know what? People who love who they loved, and they have children, and their Nimiipuu blood goes through my veins, I know, you know. And don't let the looks fool you, because Miss Jackson can be skin if you want her to be. I don't know why I tried that. In Seattle, when I was interviewing, I was really trying to like be professional, and they could just tell I was ready to laugh at, you know, some of the hooks. I just held back. Could have got you right there. Hey, I don't know. We're just Henri. the humor is. It's just Henri. I was like, golly, some of the Facebook posts I'll see. Those guys with the hot dogs. Rugged guys. Oh my gosh. But, you know, laughter is medicine. It's got me through a lot of trauma and depression and, you know, but can always laugh or bounce back. Not quite as quick, but yeah, it's really healed.
I also love that.
Laughing, I'm trying to heal myself.
That's literally what we say. That's literally like how we operate, because it does make the difference. And I wanted to touch on something else that you just pointed out, Shannon, especially for Latino culture. When I am feeling depressed, when I am feeling, you know, going through hardships, when I am like not in a good mental headspace, I feel like my community always has my back and like helping to uplift me and kind of get me back to where I'm at. Ever since I was a little kid, I just knew that if I was feeling off, I just needed a moment with my family. We're going to crack up and laugh up, and then I was going to be good. And so I gotta give kudos to my community for that support, because when you are feeling that way, I feel like there's no one better to uplift you up than your community, for sure. Daniel, I know we had we wanted to ask Shannon a couple more questions and then transition into the language lesson and shady question segment, which is gonna be really fun with Shannon.
I had a question for Shannon, because we're both from our Nimiipu community. We both come from, you know, both sides of the res, Lapway and Kamiai. And I had a question, because now, you know, nowadays we're seeing a lot of representation for our Afro-Indigenous relatives that are a part of our tribe and who, you know, all of us are related to. And so I wanted to ask, like, do you think that our tribe, you know, is more like inclusive or getting better at being more inclusive to our, you know, biracial tribal members? Because I feel like, you know, we grew up, you hear all these, you know, obviously like prejudice things from our relatives or from people in the community and stuff. And I think that's like, it's unfortunate, because it's like our own community that are discriminating against our own. But I feel like one of the biggest things that we talk about on Brown Sound is representation and why it's important. And I feel like nowadays you know, I grew up with, like, you know, having, you know, Black and Native cousins, so that's not new to me, you know, where maybe as, like, back then it might be new to some tribal members where they have their certain closed minds or just out of ignorance. But I was thinking, like, these conversations that we have and having the representation, because, you know, we had people who do a lot of cool things, you know, and people that come to mind, like, you know, like, obviously, like, Trey and Ivory Miles and Trayvon and Michaela, you know, we have a lot of Afro-Indigenous relatives who just do awesome things out there and represent our tribe.
I'm gonna name them all out right now.
Like Ty Simpson and Venice and you know, Deanna, Winter and Fiona. I mean, there's so many that our tribe, you know, they do a lot of cool things in our community.
Did I say Ty Simpson?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, can't forget Ty.
Yeah, Ty, can I get one of them purses? No, I'm kidding.
But yeah, that's just my question, would be like, do you see like our tribe, I guess, like moving in a positive direction towards like just being inclusive to all of our tribal members, or do you feel like we still have a lot more work to do? Or like even how was your experience even growing up? Like
growing up, I didn't know about it, but you know, that's the history thing. When my mom went to try to enroll me back then, I think I was denied. But how they worked back then, and it was based off, you know, your ethnicity, and like my grandmothers had to come down, you know, all the sisters that, and then I got enrolled. So I mean, so I think it's came a long way. You know, you just can't do that anymore like that.
Discriminate off of just someone's appearance.
We've really opened up, because I mean, all we're doing is having more children. And so, well, I only had one myself, but, but like, I think we're learning. I think we're really starting to open up that and coming to realize that we can't change anything, you know, with how people lie with to have children, you know, you can't, we're just not in that world anymore. It's really I'm trying to think of the word, evolved into, like, I don't even know who's full blood anymore in anything, because we're so multi, we're so diverse, you know. And so, but with all the names that we just previously said, I'm just super proud of them for everything that they've done, what they've made of mm-hmm. themselves, how they've really put out, you know, the Black and Native everything. And it's just, I just mm-hmm. am proud, because I come from where I didn't talk about it. I was just, you know, talked down to, and, you know, even by your own family sometimes, you know, and it was, yep. mm-hmm. and it was just a time where we don't live in that space anymore. And just yeah. to see that evolve into what we are doing today, and how the young, talented folks that are out doing their best and making us proud. Huge shout out to them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For educating people is what yeah. I, you know, because mm-hmm. sometimes they don't know. We don't know. And yeah. when you don't know, you stick your fence up, you know, your yep. your guards are up. And so I think they're really breaking those barriers down block by block. And it's we're yep. becoming yep. more, we're accepting it. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm speaking yep. as a Nez Perce person, you know.
Yep. Yeah.
So. Shannon, I wanted to add that as much focus and spotlight as we want to give to all the folks that are making that difference, because you said the younger generation, I feel mm-hmm. like it's also important to point out that a lot of, I'm putting myself in a young category, but I'm, you know, I'm a little bit older too. A lot of like what I've been able to do stems from the people that, you know, that came before me, and kind of like we're trailblazers to kind of give us the opportunity. They walked so that we could run, kind of thing, you know, and it's only mm-hmm. becoming better for the generations behind us. We just need to keep advocating and pushing those like glass ceilings, you know, that are put on us, and just keep pushing up and up. So, you know, yeah, you well, yourself are also admirable. You yourself are someone who's making a difference. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to remember that for sure.
Yeah.
And I was thinking with my mom, they're boomers, you know, and they come from a time where they didn't talk about what, you know, who, what, when, where. You just mm-hmm. don't talk about it. You're hushed. And so that's where I always used to get in trouble, because I'm just always talking or confronting or asking the question why. And I think I'm glad that made me who I am today, because, yep. mm-hmm. you know, I don't know. But I was always that one, always laughing, talking loud. So, I mean, that's just my spirit, you know?
Yep. Which one?
To wrap up this.
Don't talk about a community like that.
Every time.
I was gonna say to wrap up the segment, I wanted to kind of end it on a good note. Not that we've been saying anything bad before this, but I wanted to say, you know, understanding everything that you've kind of experienced and gone through as someone who's bicultural, what advice would you give to young folks that identify similarly to you about navigating like multiple racial and cultural identities? And then beyond that, what would you tell them about embracing and honoring all parts of themselves?
One, just for those that are making it happen, keep on keeping on. We see you. You're making a difference. And the ones that are coming up, be proud of who you are. And regardless, I mean, I'm come from the old school, but we had to deal with stuff, but we got through it, and we're strong today, and we'll be strong mm-hmm. tomorrow. And it reminded me of Saved by the Bell. I was like Lisa on there in like this full white school. And the black girl who spoke or acted Indian, you know? And it's just crazy, because it's like, I wouldn't trade those days for nothing, because if it weren't me fighting with a classmate for calling me the N-word, you know, and I was just, I finally just had enough, and I didn't, I don't want to talk about violence, but like I confronted this person, and the teacher dismissed him for dropping the N-word, and I got to continue learning. It was in biology class, I remember that, and I was sitting there just angry, you know, like,
yeah.
I could feel mm-hmm. that's when I finally, my identity was like right then and there. I was proud of who I was. I didn't, whatever you think of me, that's on you. I needed to stop mm-hmm. thinking worrying about what other people thought of me. Because whether I was doing good, bad, I'm pretty, ugly, whatever, there's people are always going to have thoughts. Mm-hmm. They can mm-hmm. keep them to themselves, or if they decide to share them, let it off, let it roll, bounce right off of you and keep it moving, you know?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Just be proud of who you are, and that's, I guess, that's all I have to say.
Yeah,
your clone.
Love that.
Your clone. Yeah. <Your skin. laughs> Yeah, it's crazy because I always laugh about that. Like, oh my gosh, people do. I try to say, if you could get outside of your body and look at yourself, would you be friends with that person? Would you be friends with you? You know, because mm-hmm. I'm like, oh man, I don't know if I could tolerate myself. I'm too much. Right? I'm just like, man.
I've never thought of it in that way, but you're right. That's a good way to put it. I'm like,
if you just get outside of your body for one moment and the way you act, like even watching yourself on a video, you know, mm-hmm. like the home videos, the old school ones, and just watch, I'm like, oh my God, I'm such a... I need to do better or something. You know? I'm just like, really, I don't know.
Yep.
I don't think I'd be friends with me.
We do need to give each other self-love, though. You know what I mean? Like, because we're all trying to do our best out here. We only have one life. We're mm-hmm. all, like, navigating things for the very first time. And, you know, on top of that, like, the pressures that society puts on us, especially as people of color, mm-hmm. it's just a lot. And so we need to give ourselves that little break. But I love what you said to the younger folks about just mm-hmm. embracing and honoring, like, you know, who you are, and just love yourself. Mm-hmm. Go to therapy, everybody. It helps.
Yeah. Laugh about it.
Yeah. Come to Brown Sound. We'll make you laugh. All right, everybody. I think it's a good time for us to transition into our language lesson segment. Shannon, thank you so much for being vulnerable and sharing all those good golden nuggets with us about your experience, especially to the younger generation about, you know, just being true to yourself and being proud of who you are and embracing and honoring it. The word today that we want to share in English and in Spanish and Nimiputemp is it's actually a phrase, good night. So to say good night in Nimiputemp, Shannon, I think we're gonna ask you to teach us because you know.
Well, there's two different dialects, I believe. There's tots to captain.
Say that again one more time.
Tots, like to captain.
Tots to captain. Is that right?
Daniel.
Katten.
Totsy Katten.
Totsy Katten.
Nice. Okay. So everybody at home, make sure you're practicing with us. Mm-hmm. And to say good night in Spanish, we would say buenas noches. Mm-hmm. Buenas noches.
Buenas noches.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, Shannon's all a pro. I see you. Oh, no. Spoke a little Espanol in back in the day.
Yeah. A little Resbonics.
All right, well, you know, we like to wrap up our episode with our shady question segment. Shannon, we are going to ask three questions, and everybody here will get to answer them. Part of the rule that we put on this segment is you need to absolutely answer two and could skip one, but if you're brave, answer all three. And our shady question, I know. I thought you wouldn't like say anything. Just let me go.
What happens? So do I win something?
Anyways, the three questions are, and Shannon, we always have our guests go first, and then Daniel and I will answer these also. But question number one, would you rather be rich and hated or broke and loved? So rich and hated or broke and loved? Question two is, if you had to expose one of your best friend's secrets to save yourself from trouble, would you do it? That's question two. And question three is, would you rather everyone know your internet search history or have your text messages leaked? Ooh. If you had to do one or the other, which one would you rather, you know, happen? So, Shannon, if you wouldn't mind, first question, would you rather be rich and hated or broke and loved and why?
You know, I'm going to go ahead and, because I'm already broke and hated, shoot. So we're going to get rich and hated for...
I hear you.
Actually, when we were talking about the, what's it called? The dating thing, I want to go to sugardaddy.com.
To Tio Escota.
Do they have that?
Yes. And they have sugar babies, and I would be the sugar baby.
Is that about? Give me the website. I might need to get on that. I'm
serious. When I went to Florida, this one chick, I met her in the casino. She's all, "Girl, you should." And I go, "You don't have to do nothing with them, do you?" And she's like, "No, they just need. They have all this money, and they don't have anyone to spend it on." I go, "Shut up."
Hey, I love this. If everybody's getting what they need out of the situation, power to them. Yeah, hey, do it.
She had her own living quarter in the place, too.
Oh, a living sugar quarter. Baby. I see you.
No, she said whenever she, you know, it got too late or whatever.
Oh.
Oh, interesting.
They don't get the benefits, too. Yeah. So I'll take rich and hated.
Yeah. I mean, I hear you. Okay, question two. If you had to expose one of your best friend's secrets to save yourself from trouble, would you do it?
If I had to expose myself to save my best friend? What?
So you're exposing one of your best friend's secrets to save yourself from trouble. Would you do it?
No.
No?
I mean, I'm really about the... I don't know. It's kind of... What kind of trouble is it? Hey, I can handle some things, but if it's like going to jail for him, no.
What kind of trouble?
I'm about to throw him under the bus. I don't know. I'm not trying to get in trouble for nobody. Shoot.
Yeah, no, okay. That's, I mean, fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
And then would you rather everyone know your internet search history, or would you rather have your text messages leak?
Either one. They can, well, I don't really, I mean, even though we text a lot, it's like, and all they're going to find is what's the latest movies or like some downloads. So either one, they can go either way.
Okay. I mean, you're like, I ain't got nothing to hide.
Some of them can be pretty juicy, you know. Mm-hmm. What did I say? I don't repeat gossip, so listen closely.
So listen the first time.
Yeah. I'm not repeating it. So, but yeah, they're not too bad, either one of them. Okay. So, yeah.
That's good. See, that wasn't too hard. Yeah. Daniel, how about you?
I think I would rather be rich and hated, because I feel like I'm already kind of, you know, I wouldn't say I'm broke and hated, but I am, you know, a little, you know, disliked, and I don't even have that much money, so it's like I'd rather be rich and hated. If I had to expose one of my best friend's secrets to save myself out of trouble, I guess it would just depend on what the trouble is. I'm a very loyal person, so I'm gonna just go to the most times I'm gonna go to the gray with like whatever secret I have for my friends. So I'm like, you know, I'm usually zip mums the word. So it just depends on the trouble.
Please.
My uncle calls me Chantel because he said I can't keep a secret.
That's funny.
I can't be telling everybody.
Chantel, that's funny.
That's a good one. And would I rather everyone know my internet search history? I would rather have them know my internet search history, because some of my texts are a little shady sometimes, depending on who I'm talking to. So I would definitely internet search. Yeah. Go ahead. You can look at the internet search, because I'll tell you right now, like, I don't watch porn or nothing like that. So they ain't going to find nothing but maybe, like, you know, looking at... Yeah, you ain't gonna find nothing nasty in my search history, but in a text message, you might find something that you don't want to hear.
I'll go next. So, would I rather be rich and hated or broken loved? You know, I already feel the love, so I'd rather just be rich, because I don't need to really feel that anymore.
Oh.
I'm just... No, I just feel like, if you're rich, like, somebody else will love you. And so... My haters can hate, but we're going to be on a yacht happy with my friends.
Something would be good. Or you're not hated because... Or how was I going to say that? You're rich because of him, like, or you're bringing the money. Yeah, so you happy. But it's the root of all evil.
Be happy.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah. You know, people always say, like, money can't buy you happiness. And I'm like, it sure does help. It sure does help.
It can buy mine.
Yeah. If you had to expose one of your best friend's secrets to save yourself from trouble, would you do it? I'm with you guys there. Like, there's, I'm ride or die too. And so, yeah, I, if you're a really close friend, yeah. Well, even then, I'd feel like I'd still allegedly support a friend if they did something like that. No. But yeah, I can't really see like what degree of trouble it'd be like where I would start like singing all the secrets. You know what I mean? So I don't know. That one's it depends.
Friends,
right? And then, would you rather everyone know your internet search history or have your text messages leaked? Daniel, I was really hoping you would say internet search history because I'm in some of your texts and I know what we text each other. That's not what I... That's like, not where I'm trying to be leaked. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just
Some shady messages.
Tell them on yourself. Oh, throwing shade.
Right? I feel like internet search history, look at it. I don't care. I have nothing to hide either. I definitely want to keep the text not leaked as much as possible. So
I don't think I'm the only one that texts with poor spelling. I just do the rest of the text, and if I just press send and don't even read it.
Yeah, you know, and I'm in the same boat as you, Shannon. I just feel like if you can't tell what I'm saying, then you don't deserve to know what I said.
It was not meant to be known. Yeah. Then I go back and read it like, I am so sorry. I didn't even know that that's what it said.
Anyways, I want to thank you both for for going on this journey with us. I think we've had so much fun, Shannon. Mm-hmm. I hope that we can link up one of the times that I'm up there. Like, this has been such a blast laughing.
Yeah.
This whole episode and getting to talk a little bit about things that are very real and tangible for people in our communities. It just makes all the difference. I just want to say to you, thank you again for coming on, for being so genuine, for sharing about your story and the things that you know you've experienced. Thank you for the laughs, and I just want to say you're always invited anytime back to the podcast. Mm-hmm. In closing, do either of you have anything you'd like to add before we sign off?
No, not that I'm aware of. Just whenever you do come up this way, Daniel, let me know and we can go tasting or something.
Yeah.
Wine tasting.
Rivara. Wine, food, whatever. I'm down.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Awesome.
So, yep, that's it.
Yeah, I just want to say thanks again for your time. And if you haven't yet, hit the follow on Instagram too. But hit the follow on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, where we, you know, distribute our podcasts out, wherever streaming app you listen to us on. Hit the follow button so you don't miss a new episode. And hit the follow button on Instagram, because that's where you'll see most of our, you know, episode info, guest info, life stuff. Yep. So yeah, follow the Brown Sound Podcast on Instagram. Other than that, thanks again for being here, Shannon.
You guys say Cheek-X one time.
Well, yeah, Cheek-X, you gotta.
Yeah, Cheek-X. Thanks, Cheek-X.
Oh, that's all Cheek-X's.
That's all Cheek-X.
Shannon, be on the lookout. Daniel and I are thinking about releasing a shoe line called Hey Cheek X. So,
Hey Cheek X.
Instead of Hey Dude.
It's Hey Cheek X.
Hey Cheek X. Sounds all new.
They'll be embroidered and beaded like Latino and indigenous cultures do.
And they'll be for wide feet.
Oh, wide feet.
And they'll encourage you to say hi to people, because they'll be like, what's a Hey Cheek X? And then, you know, you got to jump in and tell them. So.
I'm glad you asked. These are good conversation pieces.
Anyways, I think this is a good way to wrap up the episode with good hearty laughs. It's been real, everybody. Thank you so much. We will see you next time. Adios.
Adios.
See? Katsiyao.
And muchas gracias.
For listening to the Brown Sound Podcast.
We've had a blast with y'all today, and make sure to tune in next time.
To follow us more closely, check us out on Instagram at the Brown Sound Podcast. For partnership opportunities or just wanting to get a hold of us, shoot us a DM on Instagram.
Disclaimer, the thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the hosts and hosts only.